B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich, and in order to give you some lighthearted fun during this time of pandemic, or whatever the hell it is, we are playing some of our great, great, great moments. And there are so many to choose from. And Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, listen, on a day where I think in normal...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. And in order to give you some lighthearted fun during this time of pandemic, or whatever the hell it is, we are playing some of our great, great, great moments. And there are so many to choose from. And Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, listen, on a day where I think in normal time, it would have been the beginning of the Elite Eight, I think. So we got to start getting with some elite content. And this is one that you knew was coming. It is one of my favorite of recent memory. And being there front and center for all of it was just phenomenal.
All right.
Let's go to...
Okay, hang on real quick. And I just want people to know that Rich and I were finishing the show for the week. And all I wanted to do was see Crash. And we had a very small window before we left the building and then got to see him before we had to fly away.
This was Media Day, Super Bowl Media Row, Friday, yeah. Our last show, and in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And it was we was very tight. This was happening around like 8:50, and at 9 o'clock, Jerry Rice was set to meet
us. He
was
standing next to the table, waiting to come on.
Well, at a point he was. So yes. He witnessed all this, and I think we might set all this up. So let's get to Fred Tucher versus Jim Gray.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. The Big Y World Class Market guest chair is Jim Gray, someone we talk about once a week during the football season. He is exclusive.
Must be a slow moment.
No, it's great. Because there's so many things. All right, so first of all,
Jim Gray.
Yes. Jim Gray. Jim Gray. Oh, I didn't mention his name. Jim Gray. He's very recognizable. I didn't think I had to explain it. All right, so Jim, we're fascinated with your relationship with Tom Brady. Okay, so you do the West.
Have a lot of time on your hands.
What else do I have to do? What else? I do a 4-hour show.
Okay,
all right,
I understand.
Okay, so you do the Westwood One interviews.
Yes, sir.
But then during the documentary that they did, what was it called?
Tom versus Time?
Tom versus Time.
It was the Oprah Winfrey special that he did Super Soul Sunday. It was kind of funny because he's doing the interview, and then very out of nowhere, it seemed kind of strange, behind the camera, it was Giselle, one of the producers, and you were there for the taping of the Oprah interview. So what was the story with you being part of that Oprah thing?
I was invited to dinner by Oprah, so I came to dinner.
But that
you
was
know like, her like that?
Really?
Should that be surprising? That I'm sure you have friends. Yeah, I was invited to dinner, so I'm
not friends with Oprah.
But that wasn't
Oprah's a big deal.
But that wasn't dinner. That was a taping of a show. So,
well,
so
it happened right before dinner.
At Tom Brady's house?
No.
Wasn't that filmed at Tom Brady's house?
No.
Where was it filmed?
Where Oprah films her stuff.
And that's
California.
Where you guys
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner.
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No,
I'm trying to answer the question. So I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Because Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't...
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay. So you got there really early for dinner then.
Perhaps they ran late.
Well, it was the beginning of... it's very secretive.
No, I mean, I don't know what you're trying... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
what
are
you trying to figure
out?
Don't
worry about
okay,
it. You don't want to be here. All right. We'll have the headlines.
Real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's what you wanted?
No, you just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
That's a stupid question.
But real quick.
All right, then I don't want to ask you.
Stupid question.
Okay,
what
it's
were
a stupid
you doing?
Question.
What were you doing having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you, and he didn't like the answer.
Well,
it was,
oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headlines.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, good. 98.5, the sports over Touch and Rich. We're on Radio Row.
Oh,
Jim Gray just yelled and swore at me.
There's a lot going on here in the last five minutes.
We'll get into the Jim Gray stuff in a minute, but we have the...
Jim Gray just started yelling and swearing at me.
Why? Why is that?
I go, you do the interview with Tom Brady. I'm like, you were in this documentary about Tom Brady at Oprah's house. And he goes, yeah. And I go, okay. And he goes, I'm friends with Oprah. And I go,
oh.
And
really?
He goes, you have friends that you go to dinner with? And I go, not Oprah.
Like this. I'm sorry, I'm not friends with Oprah. Wow.
It's not like that's Bob the plumber.
That's big time.
Asking questions that we might thought be interesting, and he was mystified why this questioning would happen at all.
All right, wow. Forget it.
So you're in for it, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
I'm down.
Jerry Rice is here. I'm down.
Are you friends with Oprah?
God. That is major.
That was strange. I don't even know where it came from.
I guess I haven't done anything.
Really?
That'd be like us going nothing at all. That'd be us like going, hey, yeah. So how about the Super Bowl? Well, you played high school football.
Yeah. Well, it just isn't of yours, you know?
Man.
Well, Jerry, we will make sure that this interview goes a lot better than the last one.
All right.
98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We're live from Super Bowl Radio Row. We are kind of...
What a joy Jerry Rice is, okay?
All right.
Just Jerry Rice, start with that.
We have to address something, and Jerry Rice was here, and he was awesome, but we weren't able to talk about what happened at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, and that was, okay, so to set everything up, walking behind us at Radio Row, people randomly walk by, and they do interviews and things like that. So I walked over. I saw Jim Gray. Now, Jim Gray, of course, is the guy who on Westwood One constantly, you know, once a week interviews Tom Brady. And, you know, he's done, like, some appearances with him before on stage, and he does the namby-pamby interview. Remember, we played some of the clips. So we're like, all right, let's talk to him. So Jim Gray sits down, if you didn't hear it, and the first question Fred asks was, so when Tom Brady did this Super Soul Sunday special with Oprah Winfrey, it was very strange because he was being interviewed in the woods, and behind the camera it pans over and you see Giselle, you see the cameraman, and there was only one other person, and it was Jim Gray. And Fred said, so, okay, so now why were you a part of the taping? And he said, Oprah asked me to dinner. And we said, okay, so did you just get to the dinner really early? And he said, or maybe they were very late. All right, all right. We followed like one more question. He goes, and he gave like a one-word answer. And Fred goes, it sounds like you don't really want to be here right now, because he was like very standoffish. And he ended up like going off on Fred. And then finally, Fred's like, listen, you obviously don't want to do this interview, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off now, and we would go to commercial. What happened during the commercial, or the headlines, was he stood up and started yelling at Fred and me, and then said, I turned to him, I said, we weren't trying to, like, hijack you or anything. This is just, you were being very evasive. You didn't answer the question, so we wanted to cut it off and let you go about your day, and then we would move on because Jerry Rice is waiting. And then he said, well, I want you to know that your show has a blank reputation. And I was like, what? And he started yelling at us. Apparently on Twitch, they could see him yelling at Fred while Joe was doing the headlines, and the mics were off. And then he says, I want to talk to your program director. He starts talking to our program director. And to that, were we in the wrong at all? Anyone want to call? 617-779-0985. I'm looking at all our producers saying no. And like, unfortunately, our program director was, you know, trying to work with Jerry Rice people, so he didn't hear it. So he's having to hear Jim Gray tell, like, the story as if we went and, like,
it was 2 minutes. It was awful. It was a two-minute interview.
All I did
is say, it's obvious you don't want to be here. And then I said, let's go to headlines.
We literally asked him three, maybe four questions. And
there was nothing that I said or that Ridge said that was in any way talking down to him or in any way insulting to him.
And here's my opinion.
And then I don't
He immediately was here going, I'm going to make this miserable, because now I'm hearing that he knew our show, and like people like sent him clips, and he's like says we have a bad reputation. I mean, you say we have a blank reputation. Like, whose fault is that? We were trying to have like an open conversation. It was literally the first question we asked, and he was standoffish. Are we in the wrong at all? 617-779-0985. So it was weird. Jerry Rice had to see that too. Like, I mean, like him and Fred were like, and Fred's like, dude, you didn't want to answer questions. We cut it off because you obviously wanted other places to be, and we have Jerry Rice, and he couldn't get over it. So for 15 minutes, he was chewing our program director's ear off. Who I feel bad. I apologize because he doesn't need that today. We're all kind of busy.
All right, but I can't get calls on. Here, so just start taking calls.
Yeah, just start at the top. Let's go to
all right, where are we at? Who can answer the phone in there and put it on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, what's up?
This is Scott from Virginia, and I just wanted to let you know that you all were in the right. I mean, there was obviously nothing that you guys did wrong. You guys were interviewing him, and he was totally, as Rich had mentioned, was standoffish. Well, you guys didn't know this, but over Rich's left shoulder, we could see Jim Gray pointing and gesturing and obviously talking to your program director, and obviously wasn't happy. But I don't understand why he wasn't happy. I mean, what did you all
do? What else am I supposed to do but end the interview? I mean, he was miserable. Yeah. He didn't want to be here. I mean, there's literally nothing else I can do. Why he was mad, fine. But there's nothing I can do. We didn't insult him. The question was exceptionally valid. And then off the air, I said, Tom, I said, here's the reason we asked the question. I said, Tom's a mercurial guy, and, you know, there's not a lot known about him. You know, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
And you're in his inner circle. And we would love to kind of know how the relationship started. And that's when he said, well, you guys have a blank reputation.
So there you go.
So that was weird. And I don't know what kind of world I'm in where he thinks that we were in the wrong there.
All right, take one more call and then we'll get over it. Alan,
what's
hello.
Up, Alan?
Yeah, you guys are completely in the right. Screw that guy. He's being a prick. Best radio of the morning, though, here, and you cut him off, Fred. Thanks for the classic. Get out of here.
All right. Well, thank you.
I think we were also doing him a favor. I thought it was
Rich,
like,
there was nothing else I could do.
Yeah.
What do you want me to berate him? I mean, he came over. All I did was end the interview. I don't know why he's so butthurt about the whole thing.
And by the way, if we had this reputation, why say yes? Why come over?
I don't even think he had a he thinks we had a reputation. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Wow.
All right, one more just to make our program feel
better. Right, we're doing this just to make him feel a little bit better. Because he just got... By the way, it's ridiculous he had to deal with that. I mean, honestly.
One more. Scott, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, I'm thinking that Jim has a little bit of an argument here. And it starts off by, I think Rich set him off by kind of insulting him and saying that you're with two famous people and then Jim Gray. So when I heard that, I said, you know what, that was a little bit of a dig. And then he kind of baited him by calling him secretive as well. So I think Fred's going to take a lot of the heat with this, but I think it was really Rich that kind of set him off.
I don't think I said two famous people. I said, so you've got Tom Brady and Giselle, and then there's you.
All right, one more. All right.
Now, I did say he was being secretive. I did, because he was. All right, I was like, you're being... By the way, I thought he was a guy who didn't like namby-pamby interviews. Remember that was his whole thing?
Yes, yes. All right, well, all right, take one more. Kyla, hello.
Hi. I just listened to that, and he just sounded like such a prick by being like, oh, yeah, no, just not even making a big deal about being at dinner with Oprah. Are you kidding me?
And Tom Brady. And he goes, don't you have dinner with people? And I said, yeah, but not...
two of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah, the two of the most famous people on the planet. And he goes, well... And then he goes, well, just waiting for dinner. All right.
Yeah,
so
that was such a dick move.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know else we could have done, but thank you.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
I hope you feel better.
Do you feel better, Mike, a little bit? No. That's a big head shake right there. Well, if anything, that was a reason to get on Twitch.
All right.
So there it is. Twitch.tv. Yeah. Search the sports.
Saw it all right there.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do I miss most about opening day? Well, it's waking up on opening day, knowing that you're going to get the game of baseball. The crack of the bat, the plays, smells, the feels, everything that's great about the game. And you get it every single day in some way, some shape, some form. From now until the final pitch of the World Series in October. I just love having it with me every single day, knowing you can read a box score, knowing you can see highlights. It's just one of the great things about the game of baseball. It's fabric of our society, and it's a fabric of what I do every single day. That's what I miss most and will miss most about opening day and the MLB season.
.985 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. I'm not overly fond of this song either. Let's go to Paul on line two. Rich, if you can see it, I want
By the way,
you to...
did you hear that right there? That is Dan Roach. He just randomly posted that on his Instagram yesterday, or his Twitter. Just him doing a little ode to opening day when there's no opening day.
It sucks because this was my son's last season of Little League. And if they cancel the season, I mean, that kind of sucks. I don't think they will, but I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of like the last thing of youth.
I know.
And then you move into like an adolescence.
I know my youngest son was set to play Quidditch, and I don't know if they're going to even offer that next year.
Well, they will play Magic the Gathering. I mean, you can do that online.
I've seen the college Quidditch. They play it at Boston Common.
What is Quidditch?
Oh, Quidditch is from the Harry Potter universe. That is the game that they play where they fly on broomsticks and you beware the snitch, which is released, and you have to catch the snitch.
That's how the game ends, you see.
That's right. And
all right, okay, all right. And you can, be more specific.
Okay.
All right, so if I'm in a... Okay, talk me through this. Okay, so if I'm in a field, so I'm in a field, obviously, right?
Yeah, you're in a big. It's a big field with.
Okay,
hoops.
So I'm in a big field, and with so hoops. now with hoops.
Yeah, there's hoops. There's big hoops that are on the field.
Now do I have a broom between my legs?
You do, and you have to have a broom between your legs in order to play, because I mean, that's, how else are you gonna fly, dummy?
Okay. Okay, so the hoops are they fashioned that I can run through them, or are they? Do I have to jump?
Come on, you don't jump. Are you talking about in the Harry Potter world or in real life? Because it's not too
like
far
if
off.
Are there really these quitted? Is this something that people do?
Oh, this is real, and colleges have
Quidditch
teams.
You have to talk me through it.
Okay.
I tell this to my son all the time.
Okay.
Just start. I'm an idiot. Start from the beginning. Okay. So I have a broom between my legs.
Yes. And you have to run around with a broom between your legs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they release a golden snitch. Now, the golden snitch is usually in the books, it's this thing that flies around and you have to catch the snitch. And if you catch the snitch, you instantly win. But the snitch is very elusive. But in the meanwhile, the snitch doesn't get just released at first, because instead you have to go and you have to put. Oh, what is the name of the ball? Oh, I forget what the name of the ball is.
I'll look it up. Hang on a second.
Wait, okay. So there's a ball. And so yeah, I have this broom between my legs.
Yeah, the broom. And you run around with the broom between your legs.
And there's a ball. Now, what do I do with the ball?
Now, like, the ball you have to throw between in the middle of the circle, but there's a bludger bat. There's two people. First of all, you have one seeker, one keeper, two beaters, and three chases. Okay? Each team has that. It's your positions, all right?
It's a quaffle, Rich.
It's a quaffle. It's a ball that only chasers and keepers can utilize. Okay?
Now, is this suck? Okay. Slow down. Now, is this a soccer ball? Or
no,
it's like
volleyball that doth have been deflated.
Okay, so it's literally a deflated ball.
It's a deflated volleyball, pretty much, yes.
Okay, so I'm carrying a broomstick between my legs.
Yeah, you,
and now am I kicking the ball?
What's that?
No, am I kicking the ball?
You are throwing the ball through the hoops. However, they're on the other team, the Bludgers. Now they're okay. You have to watch out. All right, they can use their beaters to knock out the quaffle from going into the hoop. So the Bludgers with the beaters knock the quaffle. And that ends up making it so you cannot score the points until the golden snitch is released. Now, the golden snitch in the movie just gets flown around, and if you catch it, you win. But this is the best part. But in real life, they just, like, attach a ball and a sock to a dude's belt, and he runs around just like crazy. And if you can set that ball off the guy's belt, you doth win the match.
Right. Fred, you have to volunteer to be the snitch for each match.
I don't understand. This is very difficult to understand.
It's awesome live. Like, it is awesome to watch live because you don't know what the hell's going on. But there's part of it that looks like legitimately fun as hell. I don't get why you need the brooms. I don't know why it's necessary, but they're all running around with basically these big wooden sticks coming out of their crotches and knocking into each other. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
So it's a contact sport.
It can be. It can get a little violent.
All right, line four, Travis. He says you're doing it a disservice.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
All right, Travis, go ahead.
I missed it in case Nick was, you know, still had me in a hole and stuff like that. But, Rich, did you even describe what the snitch is? Like, because in the movie it flies around. Does it fly around in person? You missed all of these things. Like,
no, I said the snitch flies around. It's released mid-game. And if you get the snitch, you win instantly. But in real life, they just attach a ball and a sock to a guy's belt.
Does it fly? Does it sit on the ground?
What, the snitch? No, it flies around.
How does it fly around? It's not magic.
It has wings, dummy.
Are you talking about in the book or in real life? Which one?
In real life.
You attach a ball in a sock to a guy's pants, and he runs around, and it's almost like capture the flag. You got to grab it off the guy's belt.
Oh, so the snitch is on somebody. It doesn't fly around itself.
It hangs like a lone testicle waffling to and fro that you must grab.
Elephantitis.
Some guy's ball.
Pretty much. I believe that's how it works. Once again, I saw it live for the first time about a year ago. And, yeah, it's a tennis ball in, like, a long yellow sock, which is attached to a dude who runs
around.
Now,
where was this being done?
Boston Common. Yeah, they have it. Like, colleges will compete against each other on the baseball fields at Boston Common. And if you stumble upon it, oh, you've hit payday. I mean, it is awesome. And they dress up and everything. They go all in on Quidditch.
Okay.
Live Quidditch is something I'm surprised the Ocho has not picked up on yet, because there's like scholarships that are giving out to some schools for Quidditch.
Oh, no way.
I'm not kidding you. It is a real thing. There are Quidditch scholarships.
Wait, scholarships, because it brings in no money. Like,
true. Does fencing bring in money? I mean, they give scholarships for fencing.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I just, there's so much crap.
This is not one of them. How dare you speak it this way about Quidditch?
Right. Okay, so I have a deflated volleyball.
Yep.
And I'm picking it up. Uh-huh. And I'm throwing it through hoops with the broom between my legs.
And you get points for doing
the
that.
The bludger ends up smashing it away with his... The beaters have the bludger sticks, and they are the ones who try to knock it out of the air. So
well, that seems like that would be easy if you were the defenseman, that you could just knock it out. Like, you would see it, and you could hit it.
Well, unless you, like, got mad skills with the quaffle.
Well, if there's a hoop, there's only so much room in the hoop. It seems like I could easily hit the ball if I was on defense.
It depends, because there's more than one hoop. I mean, you have different ones. You've got one that's, you know, kind of big.
Right, but I could formulate a plan to... Now, is there more offensive players than defensive players?
Well, I mean, there's seven players. You've got one seeker. He's the one who goes after the snitch. One keeper, he's kind of the guarder of the hoops. Two beaters and three chasers.
See, Harry Potter, he was a seeker, Fred.
So we're both seeker.
King seeker.
So we're both offense and defense. We're both after the same goal.
Unless you're a keeper, and then you have to be the guardian of the hoops. You're basically the...
that's on a T-shirt. Okay. Keeper, guardian of the
guardian
hoops.
Guardian of the hoops.
Okay, so
I... And holder of the quaffle.
So... I'm trying to get them, so they throw it through a hoop, and if I hit it with a stick, it doesn't count.
It's a bludger. So the chasers can score. If you get possession of the quaffle, you have to enter like the opposition scoring area, throw it successfully through one of the magical hoops. That gives your team, I think, like 10 points. And the second way to score
But if they throw it through the hoop and I hit it with a stick, it doesn't count.
No. You knocked it out of the way. You're like, it's rejection. You know, you're like Mutombo. You're like, right. Oh, no.
But I could do that every time.
What's that?
I could do it every time.
No, you couldn't, because there's a hoop to your left, a hoop to your right. You can't guard both hoops. You gotta do, like, you know.
If I have all these people, I can guard the hoop.
They're busy trying to capture the snitch, which will instantly end the game.
Dumbass.
Right. I don't know what you don't understand.
So going through the hoops is of no consequence, because ultimately who finds the snitch is the person that wins the game.
No, as I understand it, I am now looking at the rules. The snitch has a huge point total to it, as well as ending the game.
No, it ends the game. So yeah, you get a bunch of points, but I mean, you could be in the middle of trying to get the quaffle through the magic hoop, but once the snitch is released, all bets are off. It's time
all
to
right,
get that.
So I could sit down. Hang on a second. I'm fascinated with this. So I could sit down in the grass and let them put... I'm about to swear. Put the effing ball through the hoop. And then...
It's a quaffle.
Okay. But then they release the Kraken.
The snitch.
Golden snitch.
But if I get the ball, I win.
No, if you get the snitch, you win.
And that isn't released instantly.
Come on, Fred.
All right, Fred. John on line four. John, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey. So I used to sell giant ticket packages or group ticket packages for the Boston Cannons, and you used to have to find creative ways to get a lot of people out to the games. And I stumbled upon a giant Quidditch tournament that happens every year that's hosted by the BU Quidditch team. And I kid you not, I was able to sell 500 tickets to 500 different Quidditch players, and they came out before one of our games, took over three lacrosse fields, and played in a giant tournament and beat the hell out of each other for 2 hours, and then came in and watched the game and partied like rock stars in our beer garden afterwards.
No, I don't doubt that they're...
It'd be butterbeer they'd be drinking.
It's like mead. No, I don't doubt that they're... I don't doubt that they are decent people. I'm having a trouble. All right, Danny on line five. There's a lot of people that are very familiar with Quidditch. Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing about, like, people playing Quidditch in real life is in the book and movie, like, they're flying. So it would be if, like, you saw a bunch of people playing polo without horses, and they were just, like, pretending to gallop around a field with a stick. It's just like, it's not Quidditch. You're not flying.
Okay. So you're saying it's bizarre.
You're saying that what you're witnessing is a very bizarre
dude,
act.
It's the best. It, like, because for a moment you're watching it and you're like, okay, this looks like kind of a normal sport.
Whoa. Sean is a celebrity. Sean, go ahead on line one. Sean.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie The Internship with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. They start to get a job at Google, but they play Quidditch in that movie, and it's pretty funny. They take it. All the kids at Google take it real serious, and Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn are kind of like you guys, losing their mind, trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
I can't figure it out. All right. It was written, by the way, by Nick as the person had been in the movie.
It was in the movie. If you see it and you stumble upon it, as I said,
this is the most phone calls we've gotten all day. It's about Quidditch.
Well, you obviously, this is an undiscovered gem. This is something I can't believe that you haven't come around to yet, that you had no idea what Quidditch
is. I have
is.
No
the
problem.
Talking about it.
Listen, I have no problem with people playing Quidditch. I'm just having a great deal of trouble understanding the rules.
Well, Fred,
because it seems if there's a couple hoops and I can hit them with a stick, that you would never score points. Because I would just sit there and hit it with a stick.
Well, but you got to guard different hoops. You know, you can't guard the same. They're spread out. The hoops are spread out at different angles. And
how many
they're two
hoops?
Broomsticks apart each. So the one thing that's great about all this is that you're watching it. And for a moment, there's this. You just start going, oh, wow, this looks like a normal sport. And then you look down and realize they all have broomsticks coming out of their wieners. And you're like, this is the weirdest thing you could. That all of a sudden it just goes from being kind of like interesting to being surreal when you see that the broomsticks are wobbling between their legs everywhere.
It's like a Pinocchio. It's like a bottom Pinocchio. Nathan, go ahead. You play Quidditch.
Hey guys, long time listener, first time caller. How you guys doing?
Hello.
Hey, thank you.
I play Quidditch. It's really easy to run with a broomstick if you have fat thighs because you basically just don't even have to hold it. It sticks right between your legs. You basically, every quaffle point, which is the thing that looks like a volleyball, that's worth 10. And then the snitch is only worth 30. So you really do actually have to score.
Well, why can't I just hit the ball when it goes through the hoop?
Hit what ball? The one for 10?
I don't know. Rich said that if you hit the... Rich said if you hit the ball, then it doesn't count.
Talk his language, Fred. Come on. The quaffle.
So if you block the quaffle, it doesn't count.
Yes.
Okay, so why can't I just block them?
You can block them.
But it's tough.
But I would just do it every time.
You can't, because there's three hoops, and they're each about 5 feet apart, so you can't reach that far. And the whole sport's actually full contact. And the really weird thing is it's also co-ed. So, I mean, there's been a couple times where I've, like, just demolished girls. I feel really bad after, but...
So it's like rugby. You can, like, hit people?
Yeah. No, like... My friend hit one girl, and they had to call an ambulance.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Full contact Quidditch.
Tell your friend to calm down.
You have been racked in thy family jewels with your broomstick.
I don't think there's anything, any sport that would make me hit a girl.
I don't think he meant to.
I don't know. It sounded like, they're pretty... serious about it.
Listen, things get heated when you're going after the golden snitch. We know this.
All right. I don't know. Okay. Well, you got to do your voice, and it makes me laugh. And and so there you go. I wish that I liked things like this. It would make my life so much more full if I just, like, liked that. Can you imagine if you liked it, and then, like, that was what you did for fun? You would, like, be the happiest person on the planet.
Oh, it would be great.
You'd go to, like, Boston Common, you play Quidditch.
Well, it's like how obsessed Scalabrini was with squash for a while. Like, he was, like,
Scalabrini's dead to me. He should be dead to you.
I mean, he's getting paid. It's not for something he's getting paid for. I will never, you know, listen
he
to
did. He said he had, in Rolling Stone, he said he had his own radio show.
Oh, but then he came on our show and apologized.
No, but that's not in Rolling Stone. No. Scalabrine is dead to me, and I don't think he's a good color commentator either.
I think he's excellent. I think he's
very good.
All right, shut up, Walk. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rip.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 months. Go to windownation.com. Very quickly, there's someone who wants to say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Milo.
Oh, that's Zoe.
Oh, Zoe. I'm sorry. Milo. By mistake.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Daddy.
That was Zoe.
Excellent.
Well, there you go. She brought me pancakes.
Ah, oh, very nice. Excellent, yeah, excellent.
Banana pancakes. Ooh. Thank you, honey. Well, holy guacamole! All right. Thank you.
Is that your dog, too, in the background?
No, my dog has no interest in me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my dog is... my cat is in heaven that I am at home. And is in my cat's 21 years old. And my cat is in heaven that I'm home. The dog is completely uninterested in me. And by the way, if you are a fairly tolerant parent, that there is not a lot of cursing, there is not a lot of there is no nudity. If you're looking for a film to watch with the family that you might enjoy, Kingpin. Surprisingly, not a lot of swearing. Surprisingly, fairly tame. It reads like a PG-13. I'm telling you, because I'll let them watch rated R movies. I don't care as long as it's not violent.
We're just thinking about the goodbye whore. Isn't that like the final like part of the? Isn't the whole joke that she's a whore?
Who?
The woman. What's her name? Who was the angel? What was the actress's name in that? Vanessa Angel.
Yeah, she kind of disappeared.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the sex scene with the gross lady is they don't show any of it. It's just him vomiting and her saying she has to take a crap. Hmm. So Randy Quaid does not swear in the film. And I'm telling you, go watch it and you will be surprised how tame it is. And the Farrelly brothers did not write it. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I go back and forth. It's usually the last one that I watched, either Kingpin or Dumb and Dumber being the best Farrelly Brothers movie. And it's usually the last.
Oh, come on. No way. The best Farrelly Brothers movie is There's Something About Mary. You know,
the Something About Mary has a burn rate for me. Maybe when I saw it the first time, it might have been the funniest, but I watched it again. And when you know a lot of the jokes that are coming, like it's not as rewatchable as the other two.
Oh,
like,
my
Dumb
God.
Dumb and Dumber is unbelievably rewatchable.
All right. First of all, Kingpin isn't very funny. It's just like.
What? Kingpin is the best.
Watch it again. There's not a lot of jokes.
I mean, there's so many one-liners from Woody Harrelson that are just phenomenal.
There's not a lot of jokes in it. I'm not lying to you. It's like it goes through long stretches where there's no jokes. And so, but there's something about Mary.
And Bill Murray, I mean, every scene with Bill Murray in it is phenomenal.
But that's 10 minutes of the movie. So, there's something about Mary has the classic scene where he goes, and you're just sitting around smelling your own farts. He goes, well, you've been following me? I mean, Something About Mary is boom, 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 boom. Constantly funny. It's like Airplane, even though Airplane is impossible to watch now. Because three best movies of all time, I've said, and now we are at the point where these conversations are happening, are Goodfellas is number one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that.
Anchorman is number two.
No,
of course. Well, we're going to disagree.
If you're going to go if you're going to go McKay, I'm going Step Brothers.
All right. And then Diner is number three.
Fantastic movie. Diner.
I love Diner.
Love Diner.
I've watched Diner probably 10 times.
Let's hear it for the Earl. Whole left side of the menu. Absolutely.
That's right. And then he makes the girl take the Baltimore Colts quiz.
Yep. In order to marry her.
And it has Paul Reiser in it, which really tells you something.
How much you like it, because you'd have to really like it to tell you. Yeah. He was in Aliens, which was a great movie, too. So he's been in some good things, even though he stinks.
But those are my top three. I've gone over in my head these very important lists, and that's where I stand right now with movies.
If we're going top three, I'm probably going Goodfellas, Fargo, and then it depends, because my favorite comedy is probably Step Brothers or Team America, but then Sideways, like every single time, like I find something new in that movie that makes me laugh my ass off.
I like Sideways too.
So those are probably like my top five there. Fargo is just it's perfect. It's perfect
a great movie.
Movie.
It's yeah, a no great doubt. Movie. But I've seen Anchorman more than any other movie. Blues Brothers, I've seen a million times, but I am starting not to like it. So there you go. All right, what's going on, Rich?
All right, so it's very rare that you see a celebrity do something that kind of makes you really, really go, that's unbelievable. Yesterday, Drew Brees announced that he was going to be giving $5 million to the state of Louisiana. Now, Louisiana, yeah, I know New York's really bad, but per capita, New Orleans right now is in awful shape. Like, they're a massive hot zone. The breakouts there with the coronavirus are, I mean, if you take a look at just how fast it's growing there, and I'm not even sure why. I'm sure there's many explanations and articles written about it, but it's in bad shape. So Drew Brees came out and announced that he is going to be donating $5 million of his own money to help out his community during that time with the coronavirus. He was on the Today Show this morning, and apparently Hoda got so emotional by his generosity that she couldn't keep it together.
I also think a lot of things are contagious, including generosity. So our hope is that because, you know, you let us know that you made this big, generous donation, I think other people look and say, hey, maybe I can help out too. Drew, we love you.
Love you too, Hoda. Okay. Thank you.
All right. A lot more. Sorry.
Hoda. I know. It's a lot. Sorry. Hoda, I'm so sorry, hon.
Oh, you're the worst.
Take a moment.
Sorry. Come on.
It's a lot. I know where your heart is, my dear. I do. How about I read the teas?
Yes, please.
Deep breath.
Keep it together, woman. You're a professional. By the way, Drew Brees means more to that city than Tom Brady meant to Boston.
There's no question. Yes. And by the way, instantly when that came out, I saw a bunch of people saying, "Oh, where are you doing it, Brady? What are you doing?" First of all, that's not fair. Anyone giving up $5 million, I mean, that's insane.
I didn't say it was fair or not, but Drew Brees never questioned that he was – he is a an integral part of that city. I mean, he is New Orleans, and Brady was never that. Like you said, Brady's very mercurial. He, you know – it does what he does, and he's all over the place. But he'll never be Drew Brees. Drew Brees will be a legend in New Orleans as a philanthropic member of the community. Way more.
That part is true. I mean, he's given back so much to New Orleans. And also, he's had more opportunity to step up when awful things have happened, because so many awful things have happened to New Orleans during his time there. I mean, you had Katrina, and you've had so much other stuff. I mean, it's a fairly poor area as well.
No, I understand, but who means more to their community, Brady or Brees?
Brees. There's no question. As far as philanthropy, yes. And what he means, yes. They call him Breezes down there.
Right. And I mean, you know, he means, and he would never leave, and he'll live there for the rest of his life, and that's interesting. All right, guys, it's time to ease on into the weekend, which is going to be really fun.
Much different than all the other days. Yes.
Yes, it's going to be very fun, and so there won't be the distraction of being on the radio, which I've said before is the highlight of my day for the first time in my entire life. But we will survive, and we will get through this. Everyone, wash your balls. That is what the most important thing you can do, because ball sack odor spreads this disease like you would not believe. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Enjoy Zolak and Bertrand. That'll do it for us. Bye.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.